So how many of you believe that God still speaks today? This is so exciting. We as a church believe that we actually have a personal relationship with the Almighty God. And it's the most amazing thing you could ever have is a personal relationship with God Almighty. We believe that we get to open the Word and learn about the person of Jesus and grow in a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We actually believe that God speaks today, and every time we open the Word, we believe that God speaks to us. Every time I stand up here on a Sunday morning, I believe that God has given me a word for the church, and today is no exception. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of Genesis in chapter 11, and I'm going to be addressing the topic of capacity. Everybody say capacity. All right, I want to ask you a question. Everyone ever felt like you've been stretched beyond your capacity? Like you just had too many things on your plate. You had too many pots on the stove. You were stretched beyond your means. You were burning the candle at both ends. You had the straw that broke the camel's back. Come on, any more metaphors you can think of there? There's all these things that we think, all these different imageries that we have that remind ourselves. We talk about being stretched beyond our capacity and just having too much on our plate, and we feel that we can't actually get it all done. From a workplace perspective, every employer looks at an employee and they ask themselves, what's this person's capacity? What's their potential? How much can they do? How much can they produce? And everyone's different when it comes to capacity, right? Everybody has a different capacity. Some people need to focus on one task at a time. Other people can tend to juggle many different responsibilities. Some people get tired at the end of an 8-hour shift. Some people work multiple 14-hour day shifts in a row. Everyone seems to have their own pace and their own sense of capacity. And I don't know how you view yourself when you think about your own capacity. But the word that I believe the Lord has given me to declare over you today is this. It's time to enlarge your capacity. Because God's got more for you to do. And if you're already feeling stretched, guess what? God's going to stretch you more. So we need as a church to enlarge our capacity. Because there's more coming, folks. God ain't finished with you yet. Did you know that? All right, Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, we read a story way back in human history about a group of people who got together and they had a dream, they had a vision, and we read about it. We read about it as they want to build a building. This is their dream. They want to build a city and they want to build a tower. They want to build a building. And I find it interesting because way back at the beginning in human history, we've always wanted to build, haven't we? Humans always want to build something. We do. And why is that in us? Because we're created in the image of God. And God is the great builder. He created trees and mountains. He created oxygen and gravity. And so as ones who bear God's image, we want to create. We want to build things too. And so this group of people got together to build a building. And we read the story. Genesis 11 verse 4 says this. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So they had a reason that they were doing this, and the reason was they didn't want to be scattered, right? Just like every family, they wanted to stay together, right? Just like every mom and dad who wants their kids when they grow up to stay in the same city and stay close by, they wanted to stay close by as a community, and so you could say that's a noble thing. The second thing they wanted was this. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be popular. They wanted to be wealthy. They wanted to be a big deal. They wanted to be worshipped. And so this was their motivating factor. And they said, we know how we're going to do it. We're going to build a city. We're going to build a tower. We're going to be so tall, it's going to reach into the heavens. Now, it's important to know where the heavens are. Because the tower that they were building, they were not building a tower that they hoped would reach the throne room of heaven. Did you know that? I used to think that that's what they were doing, building a tower. They wanted to build a tower that could reach all the way to heaven. Well, when the Bible refers to the heavens, there's actually three different heavens referred to. The first heaven is the sky. It's the atmosphere around us. Second heaven is outer space, where the sun, moon, and stars are. And the third heaven is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so this wasn't just some pie-in-the-sky dream that they had, that they wanted to build something that reached the kingdom of heaven. They were building something that they wanted to reach high in the sky. And so we read verse 5, the story continues. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, they are all one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. I want to read that again. You look at the next slide. This is a quote from God Almighty over these people. This is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. I want this statement to be a banner held over each and every one of us. That when God looks down at you and he looks at your life, this is what he would say. This is only the beginning of what they're going to do. They're just getting started. Think about this. God looked at them and he saw their potential. I used to read this story and think that they, again, wanted to build this tower into heaven and that it was this thing that was never going to get accomplished. And God came down to stop them because they were thinking silly thoughts, thinking foolish thoughts. No, God came down because he saw their capacity. He saw their potential. He said, these people are going to do exactly what they set their minds to. They're going to be able to do it. Nothing's going to be impossible for them. God, I'm just going to let this marinate for a moment. God looked at his creation and he said, nothing is going to be impossible for them unless I stop them. And God stopped them to protect them from themselves. God stopped them because he loved them. So how much capacity do you think that you have as a child of God? I'll tell you this, you have more than you think. If you feel stretched beyond your capacity, if you just feel like you've got too many things going on, you can't handle the responsibility, and you're not going to make it through, I'm here to tell you today that you are. I'm here to tell you that you have more capacity than you think that you do. Because if God is for you, then who can be against you? Philippians 4:13, let me prove this to you with a Bible verse. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. There is nothing that a child of God cannot do. If you read this in the literal Greek, this is how it reads. For in all things, I have strength in the one strengthening me. Enlarge your capacity. If I were going to write a book, my subtitle to this book, Enlarge Your Capacity, would be, you can do more than you think you can. You know, sometimes you don't give yourself enough credit. That you don't think that you can actually do things that God has enabled you to do. And there is quite literally nothing that comes your way that you can't handle with the help of God. Now, I know that we all want to believe the Bible, don't we? We all want to say amen to the Bible. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We all want to say amen. I believe that. And yet I want to just take a moment to prove to you that we don't really believe that. Can I do that? We want to believe the Bible, but do we really believe the Bible? Because we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But then somebody asks us to do something that we don't feel that we can do. And you know what we immediately think? I can't do that. I can't do that. Your boss walks into your office and says and gives you some workload, gives you another project, and you think, I can't do this. I can't get this done. You get a phone call from a family member who asks you to do something, who wants something from you, or asks something of you, and you think, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have the time. I don't know if I have the abilities. I don't know if I have the resources. I don't know if I can do this. You hear a sermon on sharing your faith with others. You hear Jessica come from YWAM and talk about leading 6 girls to the Lord at a playground. And you know what many of you are maybe thinking in your heads? Just maybe, just maybe, just maybe. You know what you may be thinking? I can't do that. I could never do that. I don't have the confidence. I don't have the guts. I don't have the theological training. I don't have the book with all the pictures and all the colors. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And when that becomes the inner voice in a child of God, you know what happens? You can't do it. Because you're prophesying over yourself. And the more that you tell yourself the things that you can't do, the more unlikely it is that you'll ever do them. Here's the reality that I want to declare over you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can accomplish, take care of, see through, take responsibility for, manage, overcome, and implement anything that comes your way. You can do all things through Christ. And we need to grow our understanding of our capacity. God Almighty looked at these people building a tower, and now what they were doing was wrong. Their motive was evil. Please understand me. I'm not saying that the people who were building the Tower of Babel were doing a good thing. Their heart was wrong. What I'm simply drawing attention to was their capacity to do it. You have tremendous evil. Sometimes my mouth gets ahead of my brain. You have tremendous capacity to do both good and evil. Tremendous capacity. You've probably heard it said, and I believe it's true. We are all simply a few bad decisions away from prison or worse. And that's true. You have the capability of doing horrendous evil things, and you also have the ability of doing wonderful, glorious things. The capacity of a human being. We sell ourselves short, and we say these two words that I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Two words that should be erased from the vocabulary of a child of God. I can't. A child of God should never think or say those words. And the moment that you say them or think them, you're immediately caught in a lie. You're a liar. Because either you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, or you can't. The moment that you respond by saying, well, I can't do that. I could never do that. I just don't have the giftings. I don't have the money. I don't have the, I just can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. You're caught in a lie. Because it's not true, you can. And I'll tell you a story to be a little bit transparent with you today. I was in my office this week, preparing for this morning. And usually, I work on my messages at Starbucks. Because what happens when I'm in my office is I look around at paperwork and sticky notes and letters and checks I got to sign and things I got to do. And I get distracted and I can't write a message. So I go to Starbucks and I put in my AirPods and I can focus. There's no distractions. But this week, I was working in my office. And so I was getting distracted, working on a message. Going to tell you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's nothing you can't do. Nothing you can't do. You can get done everything that God calls you to do. I'm writing this message and then my mind starts wandering. Anyone ever experienced this before? You're supposed to be working on something and all of a sudden you see something over there and you start thinking. And I'm looking over here, paperwork, sticky note, phone number. I got to call that person, email that person. My mind starts drifting. I'm taking a mental break from the message. And all of a sudden, I start feeling overwhelmed with all the things I have to do. Because I just got back from vacation, right? You take 3 weeks off, you pay for it when you get back, right? I got all these things that I got to do now. And so I'm in this mental moment. And you know what I think? You know the thought that comes to my mind? I can't do this. I can't do all this. And I literally paused and I started laughing at myself. I said, I got to preach this message to myself before I preach it on Sunday. I'm making this point. You can't say I can't. And the first thing that my flesh does is start feeling like it can't. You know that our flesh is so incredibly weak. So incredibly weak. But when you're weak, he's strong, isn't he? See, the reality is without Jesus, you can't do anything, but with him, you can do anything. So there's many things that we tell ourselves we can't do that we actually can. And now, I don't want you to be confused and think that because I'm saying that you can't say that you can't, that you therefore have to say yes to everything. That's not what I'm suggesting. It's not that every time that someone calls you or asks something of you that you have to say yes. How many of you know that sometimes you need to say no? How many of you know that a lot of times you should probably say no? So I'm not saying you just have to say yes to everything and sign up for everything and give to everything. No, no, no. There are many things that you shouldn't do. My point this morning is that there's nothing you can't do. There are many things that you shouldn't do. There's a difference between your capacity and your calling, and I'm going to get into this next Sunday. Your calling is one thing. What I'm addressing this morning is not your calling, it's your capacity. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There is nothing that you cannot do. That is your capacity. So we got to get rid of these two words in our vocabulary. I can't. I can't. So everybody just say that out loud with me. I can't. Okay, now take those words and throw them in the garbage and never use them again. Because you can with the help of God. I went to kids camp when I was a kid, which was a good time to go there. It would be weird to have gone there at any other point in my life. Some of you will get that in a couple minutes. And in the craft room, the teacher had this rule. You are not allowed to use these words. I can't. You're not allowed to say it. Don't ever say it. If I catch you saying it, you're in trouble. Because you can imagine what 30, you know, 8-year-olds would do in craft time, right? I can't get the glue to work. I can't cut the paper. I can't find the paint, right? Constantly, I can't, I can't, I can't. She says, you're not allowed to say that. You can ask for help and I'll come help you. But you can't say you can't. And that should be a life lesson for us as children of God. Don't say you can't. Say, Lord, help me. I need your help. I need your help. I can do this, but I need your help. Here's what happens when you say, I can't. You make yourself a victim. Here's why you shouldn't use the words, I can't. You make yourself a victim. Well, I just can't stand it when he bites his nails. You know what happens next time he bites his nails? Well, you can't stand it. So immediately you're angry. Well, I just can't. As soon as you say, I can't statement, you make yourself a victim and there's nothing that you can do and it's everybody else's fault. It's not your problem because I just can't stand it. Or I just can't. Well, I can't pay my bills because the government takes all my money. Taxes are too high. You just made an excuse. You're the victim. Well, I can't pay my bills because I don't make enough money. My job doesn't pay me enough money. And I can't get a job that pays me more money because I can't afford to go to school because I can't afford tuition. And since I can't afford tuition, I can't get a better job to make more money. And therefore, I can't pay my bills because it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. When you start saying, I can't, you're a victim and nobody can help you. Nobody can help you. And when you say that you can't, you imply that God can't help you. When you say that you can't do something, when you say, I just can't forgive him, really? Can God Almighty not do a transformative work in your heart that you could actually work up a place where you could extend forgiveness? As soon as you make an I can't statement, you make excuses. So I want to suggest to you, you make your own decisions. I want to suggest to you that you make yourself this promise. I will stop making excuses. I will stop making excuses. I'm not going to make excuses anymore. Well, I just can't make this marriage work anymore. Well, I just can't make this job work anymore. Well, I just can't start this business because I don't have the resources. I don't have the money. I don't have the property. We make excuses. I want you to make this promise to yourself this morning. No more excuses. No more excuses. Because when you believe that all things are possible, you believe that you don't need excuses because God is on your side. And I want you to hear this as if you're hearing this directly from the lips of God. You have the capacity to change the world. You have the capacity to change your workplace. You have the capacity to change your family. You have the capacity to change your marriage. As long as you have Jesus, there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing. You got to stop seeing yourself as little old you. You're made in the image of God Almighty. You're an image bearer. You are made in the image of God. And there's nothing that comes your way that you can't handle. I want you to consider with me the accomplishments that human beings have made over our short history, over the last couple thousand years that we've been on planet Earth. Look at what human beings have done. And some of you're going to hear these and you think, yeah, I know that. But just think about this. We've traveled to the moon. Now, I know that you know that. And maybe some of you still don't believe it. But we've traveled to the moon. That's a pretty amazing thing. Think about the invention of the airplane. Think about the fact that you can get in something that weighs tens of thousands of pounds and fly. In 50 minutes, you can be in Boston. Think about that. Think about vaccines and healthcare. You know, what's considered the greatest breakthrough in the 20th century is the vaccine for smallpox. When's the last time you worried about smallpox? Probably not recently. But you know, there was a day and age not too long ago where everybody thought about smallpox. Every day wondering if they were going to get it and if they were going to live to see 40 or 50. Think about the printing press. It's changed the world. Think about the fact that we cloned a sheep. Do you remember that? Back in 1996, Dolly the sheep, we cloned a sheep. Now, I'm not saying that that was the right morally thing to do. I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying, think about the fact that we, as human beings, cloned a sheep. It lived for 6 years. Think about technology. Think about computers and phones. Just think about the simplicity of a telephone, that you can pick up a telephone and you can make a call to someone on the other side of the world. You can talk to someone in Australia on the phone right now. Just think about that. Think about a man named Walt Disney who had an idea about a cartoon mouse. Everybody laughed at him. Said, who is going to watch a cartoon mouse on television? And I would like to propose that Walt Disney Productions is shaping culture probably more than any other company in the world right now. And it started with a dream about a mouse. Think about Steve Jobs, who released an iPhone in the midst of a recession in the United States. In a day and age where most people spend $20 on a cell phone, he comes out with a $500 cell phone computer. Changed culture. And I give these examples not because they're spiritual or faith-based or morally good, but just to say, look at what people created in the image of God can do. And stop looking at yourself, particularly as a child of God, and saying, well, I'm just a little old me, and I just take care of my household, and I just take care of my family, and what am I going to do to change the world, and I can't do big things. You can do all things. Whatever he's called you to do, you can do it. Let me give you some scriptures here. Matthew 19, 26. With God, all things are possible. Mark 9, 23. All things are possible for one who believes. Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Listen to Luke 10, 19 in the Amplified. Listen carefully. This is Jesus. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, the ability to exercise that authority over the powers of the enemy who is Satan, and nothing will in any way harm you. Matthew 17, 20. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I've got a question for you. How many times do you need to hear from Scripture and from the lips of Jesus that nothing is impossible for you before you believe it? I'd like to suggest we need to hear it a few more times. I like to suggest that we need to hear this every day. I believe that we would all do well to wake up every morning and say, today, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. We need to hear it over and over and over again. Rather than meditating on all the things I can't do and I can't control this and I can't do this anymore and I can't believe this and I can't do that, we ought to be thinking about all the things that God can do. Because you might not be able to fix your relationship, but did you know God can? And if you focus on all the things that you can't do, you'll spend less time thinking about how God can do them. There's not a single attack, accusation, or fight that Satan can throw your way that you do not have the ability to beat. But we make excuses, don't we? Well, the Bible says that God will never give us anything more than we can handle, but I just can't handle this. I can't handle this. I can't handle this. I can't handle this. There it is again. I can't handle it. God's given me more than I can handle. Does God promise to not give you more than you can handle? Yes, he does. In 1 Corinthians, we read that he won't tempt you beyond what you're able to bear. That's where we get that idea that you won't, that you're not, God's not going to give you anything more than you can handle. Here's the thing. You can handle more than you think you can. You can handle more than you think you can. You can look back at a point in your life and point out a season in your life and you, where you would think, I didn't think I was going to be able to get through that, but I got through it, didn't I? Still here. I got through it. In the moment, it seemed like it was overwhelming, but I got through it. Here's the reality. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let me tell you a story about a man named Stephen Parker. Here's a picture of him here. Stephen loves Toyota Priuses, and he loved technology, and he loves cars, and he loved that they brought them together. And so he would buy Toyota Priuses, and he'd work on them in his shop. He loved working on them and tearing them apart, and he'd work with his two boys. You can see a picture of his 17-year-old son, Mason, on the left, and 8-year-old JT. And this is in their garage. They were always working on cars and loved working on the Priuses. And so there was this one day, this was about 3 weeks ago in the United States, where they were working, and Mason, the 17-year-old, he cut his hand, went inside to clean it up, bandage it up, and so he was out there just with his 8-year-old son, JT, and he was working under the car, and the car jack broke and fell on him. He was pierced in his lungs. He thought, he was very confident he was about to die, and he called for his 8-year-old son and said, you need to lift this car, and then he went unconscious. And so 8-year-old JT, not thinking he had the time to run inside to get his older brother, decided that he was going to lift the car himself. And so what took both the 17-year-old and the father to use the car jack to lift the 6,000-pound car, the 8-year-old 50-pound boy did it all by himself. For 15 minutes, he physically climbed up onto the wall and jumped on the lift repeatedly for 15 minutes until he was finally out from underneath and saved his father's life. Now, there's an interview. They interviewed him for television, and they asked him, they said, JT, what enabled you to have the strength to lift a 6,000-pound car? And he said, oh, well, angels helped me. Now, you hear a story like that, and you think, yeah, but Pastor Tim, that's like a miracle. Like that's a one-time deal. Are you suggesting that a 50-pound, 8-year-old boy has the capacity to lift a 6,000-pound car every day? Like he can just do, he has the capacity to that? No, I'm trying to suggest to you that he can lift a Mack truck if he needed to. See what I did there? You thought I was going one way and I went the other. I'm trying to get us to see how massive our capacity is, that a child of God, listen, when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, there is nothing you cannot do. Nothing. There's nothing you cannot do. There's nothing you cannot overcome. Nothing. There's nothing you can't beat. There's nothing bigger than God. And if God is on your side, come on, you're on the winning side, folks. It doesn't matter. You say, well, the devil's really beating me up. The devil's really picking a fight, and he's really fighting with my family. He's really messing with my finances. He's really coming after my health. Well, that's okay. Who's on the winning side? You or him? Like you know who you are as a child of God. You're taking care of God. You go before me. You surround me. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear you. The promises of God, Deuteronomy 32:30 says, we learned that one puts 1,000 to flight and two put 10,000 to flight. You know what that's called? Math according to God. You think, well, one can do 1,000, two can do 2,000. No, he says, if one can do 1,000, two can do 10. What does that say? That there's power in numbers? No, it says the opposite. It says that God doesn't need a statistical advantage to win. Did you know that? Did you know that you don't have to be a millionaire to be generous? See, these are the lies that we tell us. If I had more money, then I could be a greater blessing. If I had more talents, then God could use me. But Pastor Tim, I'm just little old me, and God can't use me to do great things. But here's the great thing about the gospel is that he picks people who don't have much to offer. He picks you, and he empowers you to do great things by his Spirit in you. So Paul makes this declaration. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And the context of those words is that Paul was thanking the church at Philippi for supporting his ministry. They gave him finances. The book of Philippians says that they gave beyond what they were able, which implies that they had needs in their own life, but instead of meeting their own needs, they gave to his needs. So they needed to buy groceries, but they decided that they literally wouldn't buy groceries for themselves, and instead they sent their grocery money to the Apostle Paul, okay? So they're giving extravagantly to Paul. And Paul writes this thank you. He thanks them for supplying and giving generously. But then he tells them, I just want you to know that while I appreciate your gift, I want you to know that I don't really need it. Because I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to have nothing. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He writes to the people who were generous to him, and he says, just so you know, thanks for your gift, appreciate it. He says in verse 14, it was kind of you to give. It was very nice. Can you imagine not giving your grocery money to your family, but giving it to someone else? And they say, oh, that's nice. That's nice. I didn't really need it, but thank you. Almost a little bit offensive. Paul's not trying to be offensive, and he's not trying to be insensitive. He is trying to get the people to understand that people are not my source, God is. I appreciate the money that you sent, but guess what? If you didn't send it to me, God would have used somebody else. Because God is good. God's my source, not man. Paul writes this letter to them and he says, I don't rely on the generosity of people. I don't rely on the resources of those around me. I don't rely on the talents and abilities that people have. I don't rely upon practical support. I rely fully on Jesus, and through Jesus, I can do anything. I could lose every dollar in my bank account. I could lose every relationship, every person that's close to me, and I'm still okay because I have Jesus. I can do all things. Nothing I can't do. There's nothing I can't do. There's nothing I can't do. And when you develop a there's nothing I can't do attitude, it gets rid of those excuses. Come on, I'm taking every excuse away from you. Every excuse. Every excuse. Well, Pastor Tim, but I can't share my faith because. And I can't give because. And I can't serve because. And I really want to, but I can't because. All those go away when you realize that you have the hope of the world living on the inside of you. Every excuse goes away. Because you can see anything, then you can see mountains moved in your family. Did you know that? We got 25 days to see $107,000 come in. Now you can dismiss that as pie in the sky dream fairy tale. You're trying to build a tower that reaches the heavens. I believe that what we're building here is not the Tower of Babel, but it's the kingdom of God. And I believe that God's looking to do big things in our midst. Here's what I believe that God will say as he looks over Niagara Worship Center. This is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose will be impossible for them. Nothing, 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 nothing. Come on, is your heart getting big? Is your faith getting big? Nothing. Can you imagine a church? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine a church where nothing that we propose to do, we can't do? I had a meeting this week with someone who works for Big Brothers Big Sisters. And, you know, they have 90 kids in Niagara on a waiting list for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. 90 kids. 90 kids. And in my heart, I wanted to say, give them all. We'll take them all. Because we're a church. There's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing that we can't do. Do you know how many kids are in the foster system in Niagara Falls? Hundreds. Hundreds waiting for families to take kids. I mean, who should be the one to be able to take care of children? Don't you think the church should do that? Don't you think Jesus has a little something to say about taking care of widows and orphans? It should be the Church of Jesus Christ. So here's the kind of church that Niagara Worship Center is. We're going to be the one to look into our community and see a need, and we're going to meet it. We're going to meet it. Nothing that we propose to do will be impossible for us. Nothing, 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 nothing. I believe that miracles are coming out of this place. What's our job? What are we supposed to do, Pastor Tim? Realize your capacity. Realize that you have more to offer than you think. Realize that God is not looking at the sins in your life and using them and say, well, you're not qualified because you've got an addiction. You're not qualified because you've got a foul mouth. You're not qualified because you still have this in your heart. You still have bitterness, so you can't be a part of leading because you still have this little thing in your life. No. Your capacity is beyond. So your doctor gives you a bad report and says that you won't make it through. What do you say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Your boss says you'll never go further than you are right now. What do you say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Satan whispers into your ear and says you'll never love again, you'll never trust again, and you'll never get over this hurt. You're going to carry this with you forever. You're never going to heal. You know what you say? I can do all things through Christ. There's nothing I can't do. There's no person I can't forgive. There's no person I can't love. Because God's on my side. So I don't know what opportunities lie before you, what dreams you've had that maybe you put on a shelf because you thought you didn't have enough money, you didn't have enough resources, you didn't have enough connections, you didn't have whatever. I'm here today to tell you to pick up those dreams again. Because you can actually do it with God's help. You can open that business, you can go back to school, you can change the culture on your street, you can change the culture in your work, you can see your lost family members come to faith in Christ, you can see your marriage healed, you can forgive them for what they did to you, you can get out of debt, you can be free from bondage to sin, you can be healed. Did I touch anything for you there? Come on, stand to your feet. And here's what I want us to do. I want you to bring to your thinking right now something that you have viewed as an impossibility. Something that you have viewed as impossible. Or maybe you never thought it was impossible, but you, if you're honest with yourself, you just kind of resolved that it might never happen because maybe you didn't have what it took. I want you to bring that to the forefront of your thinking, and I just want to pray over you and declare the word of the Lord over you. Father, I thank you today for your word, and I thank you that your word brings life and light. I thank you, Father, when we open your word, it exposes the lies of the enemy. It exposes the lies that we've heard. It exposes the lies that we've told ourselves. And today I come against the lie of I can't. I come against the lie that we are not enough and that we don't have enough. And I speak the truth of the word of God over us as your people, that we can do all things through you, God, that there's nothing that we can't do, that there's no battle we can't win, that there's no relationship that can't be healed and salvaged. Lord, I thank you for every dream that you've placed in every human heart. And God, I pray that you would just breathe fresh hope upon them today, God. I pray that you would give hope all across this room, Lord God, that there's nothing impossible with you, that you're a mountain-moving God. You're a cancer-healing God. You're a bitterness-healing God. There is no damage that has been done by man or by hell that you cannot heal. And Lord, right now we ask that you would come and begin to bring healing. Bring healing into broken hearts and hurting minds, Lord God. We ask that you would minister right now, Father, by your Spirit, and give us hope that there's great things to come. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.